completely redesigned Bashani Radio app is hotter than ever.
Ever.
Now you can binge listen your favorite podcast show. And for those listeners that like to talk trash, excuse me, I mean give feedback. Just tap our new feedback button and run your mouth for 60 seconds. Download free for iPhone and Android in the App Store or listen online at BashaniRadio.com.
Welcome to another edition of the Benny Randall Show. I'm your host, Benny Randall Jr., a.k.a. The Motivator. And this powerful show brings you conversations with today's stars and tomorrow's legends. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. Come on.
It's the Benny Randall Show.
Welcome to another edition of The Benny Randall Show. I'm your host, Benny Randall Jr., a.k.a. The Motivator, a.k.a. Billionaire Benny. And like always, you can reach out to me at BashaniRadio.com or you can go to BennyRandall.com. Or if you want to be private with me, you can go to my private community at BennyOnDemand.com. It's another powerful and extraordinary show in cooperation with Bashani Magazine. We bring you entrepreneurs that are changing the world that we live in. And like always, we have even another powerful entrepreneur. Her name is Victoria James, is the founder and CEO of Ever Growth Counseling, PLLC, an online mental health practice launched in the midst of a pandemic and located in New York. She is a member of the BIPOC community and a first generation American born to multi-ethnic parents from Kingston, Jamaica. Yeah, man. With a passion for mental health and helping others find their strength again, Evergrowth Counseling was created for young professionals and entrepreneurs who are struggling with mental health challenges and in need of support. Victoria is a licensed clinical social worker with over 13 years of experience in mental health field. She completed her undergraduate degree in social work at Long Island University and earned a master's of social work at Stony Brook University. She has extensive experience in treating symptoms related to anxiety, stress, imposter syndrome, depression, burnout, low self-esteem, life transition, crisis management, generational trauma to individuals and families across New York City. Ladies and gentlemen, all around the world, New York, and globally, I introduce you to Victoria James. Miss James, how are you doing today?
I'm great, thank you.
Oh, this is amazing, man. Just reading your bio, you started your business during a pandemic. What made you want to start your business during a pandemic?
Well, I always had a passion for entrepreneurship, but I never knew how. And during the pandemic, with seeing everything going on and with the level of uncertainty in the job market, I lost my jobs myself twice over the past year, and all the fear I had about getting started left my body, and I decided to move forward. And I'm 6 months into fully working for myself, and my business is thriving, and I'm feeling happy.
Very, very powerful. I love it. I love it. So let's give the people a little insight on how you got into this mental aspect. But let's talk about your backstory here. You were a single mom living in a homeless shelter. Is that correct?
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, at 18, a senior in high school, I became pregnant with my son, Justin. He's now 20. And I became homeless and I had nowhere to go. I came across a runaway homeless youth program ran by SEO, Children and Family Services, where I lived for almost 2 years. And they provided me with support, a place to stay, and which enabled me to go to college.
I like that. The reason why I'm asking you about this, because I think there might be a lot of other people out there at a crossroads in their life based on what's going on in their life. And let me ask you, how was you able to keep your mental health straight going through such a traumatic experience, being a single mother, 18 years old, and having to take care of a son in a shelter? Like, how was you able to get through that?
It was rough, and I didn't really have the support, which is what inspired me to get involved in the mental health field. Every year I failed in and out of my classes. I almost dropped out of school several times. It took me 5 years to complete my undergraduate degree instead of, you know, four, because, you know, worrying about a place to live, taking care of a young child while having to study and work on top of it, it was just so overwhelming. And, you know, I don't know how I would have done it without the support of the Teen Mom program I was living in. So it really had to be more than just motivation. I had to think about every time I looked at my son, that's what gave me motivation. And, you know, he was my why. I had to do it.
So I like when you say that. So in other words, you needed something big than inspiration. You needed a why. You need a why. Yes. You needed to keep going. You need a reason for why you needed to do better and you needed to make it. Now, thinking on that behalf, there's a lot of other young ladies that might be in a similar situation that you were in at that point. What was some of your first steps to getting out
of homelessness?
Yes, because you know, survival a lot of times is the very first thing we need to deal with, right? You know, like in anything that we're going through, we need to survive first before we can think about, okay, let me accomplish this goal and that goal. We need to get through the survival point. So somebody that may be listening to this conversation right now, what were some of the first steps you did towards getting yourself out of that situation? Because I've learned, Victoria, there is no situation that's bigger than you.
I agree. I first acknowledged that I needed help.
I like that. I like that.
I think acknowledging and being receptive to help and then seeking out information to get the help. Once I started asking around to my friends it was a friend in high school that I knew. When I told her the situation I was in, she told me about the program and I called. It was very scary at first, going to live in a shelter and not being home with family and people that I knew, but I knew I needed the help.
So let me ask you this. How long was the period of you in the shelter to being able to get out the shelter?
If I could remember, about estimated around 18 months.
Wow. That's a long time to be in a place you really don't want to be at.
Yes.
You know what I like about it, though, is that it seems like you never give up. You never gave up. But you said the most important thing, and I think hopefully the listeners will gain from that nugget, and that's very simple, is that you had to recognize and come to terms that you actually needed help, regardless of what your situation was. Why do you think a lot of people never even get past that point of wanting to ask for help? Do you think it has to do something with shame of it or embarrassed? And if so, on top of that, how can people get to the point where they can ask for help and move forward with it?
I would say hunger. You need to be hungry for the change. You know, and during that time when I was pregnant with my son, someone important and related to me told me that my life was over. You know, and that's that just like
what did they mean? Was that in a negative way? Like, you know, your life is you're not worthy.
Someone said to me, young mothers belong in belong on public assistance. Your life is over now. You failed.
Wow. That is deep. And when that person said that to you, what was your response?
I stopped speaking to that person. And, you know, this person was someone like a father figure to me. And, you know, sometimes you have to cut off people that, you know, are a negative, have a negative effect on you in order to move forward. And that's what I did. I had to do what's necessary to prove him wrong, prove myself right, and do what's necessary for my son. You know, I brought him into situations he didn't ask to be in, and I took that as my responsibility that even though it's humiliating to ask for help and humiliating to have to move into a shelter, it's what it was necessary. And, you know, 8 months seemed long at the time, but looking back, I've never lived in a shelter since then.
I love that, because I've always said that you got to make your haters your motivators. And that seemed exactly what you did. You took that negative energy and you turned it into a positive. And, you know, in fact, they probably inspired you partially, you know, indirectly to make sure that you were going to make it so you can prove them wrong. And so my next question is very, very simple. When people have that type of negative energy in their lives, what is the best recourse for that?
I would say that a lot of people are projecting. And so I suggest if you're that
person, that's deep. Don't just skip over that. You say a lot of people are projecting. What do you mean by that?
They have their own fears and insecurities within themselves. It's not about you.
Girl, you better preach up in here. You better preach for them people in the back of the church. Go on here with your bad self. Go ahead. You were saying that they have their own. So in other words, when people are coming at you very negative, they're really talking about themselves. Is that what you're alluding to?
Yes. And there's a quote that says, whatever your opinions are about me, it's none of my business.
Absolutely excellent. And that is a true story. So can you elaborate a little bit more on the when people are trying to project on you, and how do you deflect that?
Well, it's very hard. You know, like during that time, my self-esteem was very fragile. It was fractured. And it took a lot of strength within me to try to like push through that and limit the negative energy around me. I felt very lonely at that time, socially isolated. And the only thing that kept me going was my son. Everything else was invisible to me. I didn't have the energy or, you know, mind space to think about those things that people were saying to me. That's just push forward.
I love
and
that.
So sometimes you just have to like tune out negative energy and stay away from people that make you feel bad about yourself.
Your son was your motivation. I love that. Just in case you're listening and just joining us, you are listening to the Benny Randall Show in cooperation with Bushani Magazine, and we're talking to Victoria James, mental health expert, and she is really dropping some real powerful nuggets here. And so now I want to fast forward a little bit now that people kind of understand a little bit about your background and, you know, some of the things you've been through, because I think it's important that people understand that the story is your glory. You know, now you have your own business in mental health. Was this due in part because of everything that you went through that you decided your life's purpose was going to be to help other people?
Yes. I knew from an early age that I wanted to be in a field of change, and I wanted to use my voice. And during that time, I realized that there was not a lot of support for, you know, young single moms trying to make it through school and without much support.
And so now that is your why you wake up now, huh? Being able to inspire and being able to help other people through mental health. So let's talk a little bit about mental health at this point right here. And The pandemic has caused, I don't know how to say this, so I'm gonna just say it straight out. Basically, the pandemic has given you a lot of new customers. And what I mean by that is that people have went through a period in their lives where they thought they had it all together. But as corporate worlds have, laid people off, fired, eliminated positions, people having to work from home. And they said now there's more divorces happened during the pandemic than any other time. Can you talk a little bit about that? Is it that the more time people spend together, the more they figure out they don't like each other? I'm trying to understand, you know.
Well, I don't specialize in marital counseling, but I could say this. People before the pandemic were always on the go, especially in New York City. We're grinding, we're hustling. A lot of us millennials are, you know, working excessive amount of hours and juggling multiple responsibilities between social life, family life, parenting life. A lot of us are going to graduate school, earning our doctorates. So life is like busy. What the pandemic did was slow things down, where you had to think about your problems, things that people used to avoid before came to light during this lockdown. You had to sit with yourself, sit with your partners, and a lot of things couldn't be avoided at that point. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I wasn't trying to get you to focus on the marriage. What I was trying to allude to is very simple, that, you know, people thought their mental health was intact. But a lot of what I've learned is that a lot of people was just very, very busy, as you just said. You know what I mean? And when you're very busy, a lot of times, you know, like they say, you don't have time to just slow down and smell the roses. So you keep yourself so busy that you don't realize what you are missing or what you are not connecting with. Because I've found that, you know, that even with the internet, you know, it's supposed to bring people together. But I find that the internet is making people lose the very thing we should be craving. And that's the ability to communicate with each other. You know what I mean? The human contact, because it's so easy to hide behind a text. It's so easy to hide behind a phone. It's so easy to hide behind the internet. But it takes effort to meet somebody in person and have a conversation. How has that affected the mental health of people?
I would say the consumption of social media and having to always feel connected to your work environment, on top of now social isolation with people having to decrease their social activities and now work remotely from home, you're not getting that connection as you once did before. There's like a lack of work-life balance now. There's not much things that you can do nowadays without being fearful of, you know, getting sick or getting your loved ones sick. So it's, I guess, preventing connection, one-on-one connection with people in person.
Mm-hmm. Do you find a lot of more people are going through anxiety nowadays? And what can things that people do to avoid, you know, having the stress of anxiety and, you know, all these miscellaneous things that are going in and that they're consuming on a daily basis?
Oh, significantly. I think at some point it's pretty natural and validating for anyone right now who is feeling some type of anxiety with this, you know, going through a pandemic and having your life altered in a major way. You know, and what I recommend is first to acknowledge that something's feeling different or off with you. Seek out help, especially for those not having much social support. A lot of people have been moving in and out of the city, live in someplace new, have changed jobs. You know, not feeling connected to the people that they work with since they're now working from home and not going into a physical office space. So it's even more imperative now that you have connections and you feel supported. And for many people, they don't have that level of support. So seeking outside help, even if you do have support, if you're feeling anxious, worried, your thoughts are racing, you have insomnia, difficulty with sleep, feelings of sadness and extreme worry, that those are indicators that something's off with your body. And I recommend to listen to your body. And it doesn't make you crazy to seek out mental health.
Very, very powerful. Explain to me what I read in your bio. It said you help people with imposter syndrome. Explain to me what that is to my listeners.
So imposter syndrome is very personal for me. And it's somewhat why I became so passionate about what I decided to specialize in. And, you know, in going back, you know, to my story and what we spoke about with hearing, you know, people project negative commentary onto you, it's very hard to, you know, tune out negative things said to you and not let it become a negative effect on your self-esteem and your value. You know, like when I did graduate from college, I didn't think anything was of that until people started asking me to speak at events. And I didn't find anything special about my story because I thought it was just something necessary. It took me several years of self-improvement and acknowledging that my accomplishments were in fact accomplishments, you know. And there's a lot of people walking around with, you know, Ivy League degrees in top positions who struggle with self-esteem. They think that their accomplishments were just a mistake, or, you know, they belittle them, or, you know, they feel like the people around them belittle them, and, you know, they're not living out their full potential because of it.
Yes, I can definitely agree with that, because I know a lot of very intelligent people with tons of degrees, you know what I mean? But if you have a personal conversation with them, you'll find out just how insecure some of them are. And then I know a lot of people with no degrees and they kill in the game. So I guess it depends on where your mental health is at that point in your life. You know what I mean? And so other people that might be suffering from imposter syndrome like yourself, as you say, it was very impassioned for you. If I asked you for two steps for them to get beyond that, what would you tell me?
I would tell them to have compassion for yourself.
Mm-hmm. Compassion in what way? Elaborate.
Value your accomplishments. You earned that.
Very powerful. And number two?
I would say to believe you're not an imposter. Where you are today and where you're heading, you have control over, and you got yourself there.
So do you am I understanding basically imposter syndrome is really not giving you credit for what you have accomplished and allowing other people to somehow downgrade, you know, your accomplishments in life? Is that am I on track here or off track or what?
Correct.
Absolutely. That's a beautiful thing. So let's talk about stress. A lot of people and just stress with men and women. This pandemic has brought a lot of that on because a lot of people who thought they had like secure jobs. My English, I promise you it ain't good. But a lot of people who thought they had secure jobs learned that, you know, it really didn't matter once they came down to the money. Right. And what I mean came down to the money, meaning like companies were going through a point where they were losing a lot of money and they started shaving off their employees. You know, people who have been there 20 and 30 years, therefore causing a backlash of people who are now stressed because they had planned to retire at some of these companies. And now they're thrown into the midst of the wolves and saying, well, go find something else. Earlier in this conversation, you said you were laid off from your jobs or you lost your jobs. How did you bounce back from that?
I would say I lost my fear at that point because, you know, I really didn't feel secure anyway. Working a 9-to-5, having to ask for vacation time off, you know, having to, you know, be forced to, you know, cooperate with policies I didn't agree with. And, you know, I was even working two jobs at one time for the past over a decade, working two jobs to, you know, live in New York City and pay, you know, New York City rent and living expenses. That's not a way to live or plan for retirement. So I looked at my layoffs as a blessing in disguise.
Wow. That you know what I think I like to tell people a lot of times, Victoria, is that the only job security in a job is the fact that you don't have job security. And if people thought like that, then they will be more willing to take risks when they want to instead of when they have to.
Yes.
You understand? And
that goes back to imposter syndrome. You have to know that you have the power.
Yes, you have the power. And the beauty, what I want to try to stress to people is very simple. Don't wait till they make you do it. Do it on your own terms. It comes out better then. So going forward in the times that we are, what is your suggestions to people to getting through this whole pandemic type of situation?
I would say there is opportunity in chaos, and you'll find another way.
I love when you say that. You said opportunity in chaos. That's amazing. Can you elaborate a little bit on that, please? Just a little elaboration. What do you mean? Because you're dropping some nuggets, but people need to know what you mean, Joe.
Well, you know, for me, like for several years, I always wanted to start my practice and always read about entrepreneurship, but I had a lot of fear. I didn't believe I can do it, you know, and part of it was my self-esteem and not giving myself enough credit that I was capable. So once I got pushed out with being laid off, and at one point I did interview and at several companies, and I would always hear, you know, competitive salary. But the salaries weren't competitive. If I have to work several hours and like multiple jobs just to pay for my bills. So I had to tell myself that I could do better, you know, and I did.
Yeah, because that's a play on words, competitive salary. competitive to who? Mm-hmm. Is it starving or not starving? Is that competitiveness?
I was starving, and yeah. I had to look at like what I was doing. Like for the past decade, you know, like living paycheck to paycheck with a master's degree as a licensed professional, that wasn't part of my assignment.
No, not at all. You know, I often tell people that if they can pay you $100,000, they're probably making $500,000 off of you. All right. Because otherwise they wouldn't pay you $100,000. You know what I mean?
And even $100,000 in New York City, that's like minimum wage in New York City.
That's like petty cash.
Much money.
You're right on point with that. So that I think that's the entrepreneur there. So when you decided to make that entrepreneur step out into that world, was it scary for you? Because you say you was kind of pushed there because, you know, not having a job, you might as well do it now. Not having a job, which means you didn't have that preparation time, you know, that most people try to set themselves up for, you know, like I'm going to prepare to leave in a year. I'm going to prepare to leave. And then, you know, you would kind of push to this point. Was this the first time you were laid off of fire or what?
No. And that's when I knew that it was time. You have to realize when it's time, and my body just told me I can't take this anymore.
So you were one of those serial people get fired or quit or leave?
I plead the fifth.
Good one. That's a good pivot. That is a good pivot, Victoria. All right. We're coming down to the last parts of this interview, man. It's amazing how time flies when you're having fun. You know, so if people that are looking for the type of help your business group, how can they locate you, and do you take walk-ins, or how does this whole situation work if people want to get in touch with you?
My practice is 100% virtually online. I could be found on ZocDoc, Psychology Today, Therapy for Black Men, and Therapy for Black Women. I can also be found on Instagram at Evergrowth Counseling, PLLC.
Okay. Wow. That is very powerful. And I love that you are so many places that people can reach out to you if they're looking for the type of help that you're getting. And by you being online, that allows you to help people all over the world. That's how you anticipated your business being?
Well, as a licensed mental health professional, I am only licensed to operate, well, see patients in my licensed state, which is currently right now New York.
Oh, okay. So they have to be in New York for you to be able to help them.
Yes.
Oh, okay. I'm glad you stated that because I don't know. So
yeah, you have to see someone that is located in the state you are in at the time of your session. However, to work through that, I am planning to launch a coaching practice in the new year for professionals struggling with their mindset.
Oh, okay. So I guess that'll be a little different in a way to you to pivot to be able to help more people. Is that the understanding?
Correct.
Okay. Do you have a website where people can reach out to you?
My website is currently being edited and I hope to launch in the new year, but I do have an email, victoria@evergrowthcounseling.com.
Okay. That is victoria@evergrowthcounseling.com. Are you on IG? Are you on Facebook?
I'm on IG and Facebook as Evergrowth Counseling PLLC.
Victoria, I want to thank you for coming on the Benny Randall Show and Bashani Magazine. And I want to give you a chance in your final words. What advice can you give to the people out there that are suffering and don't know where to go?
I would say to go on sites like ZocDoc. You're able to input your insurance information in and you can find a provider in your neighborhood that accepts your insurance. You can also do a search on Psychology Today or you can do a Google search.
Very, very powerful. And I want to thank you once again for being on the Benny Randall Show, where we believe it is just your absolute business to know. And once again, make sure you can reach out to Victoria at victoria@evergrowthcounseling.com. And with that, Victoria, we thank you for coming on the Benny Randall Show and Bashani Magazine and giving people a new perspective.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on another edition of the Benny Randall Show and Bashani Magazine, where we highlight entrepreneurs that are making change in the world we live in, who are making an impact. You can reach out to me at BennyRandall.com or BashaniRadio.com. Until next time, I love you, and you can't do a damn thing about it. Make sure you download the Bashani Radio app in the App Store for iPhones and Android so that you can listen to this episode and all other episodes of the Benny Randall Show and Bashani Magazine, because we are bringing it to you hot like fire, baby. All right? Until next time, I love you. It's not a game. It's a lifestyle, baby. Show you right. Good night.
Designed Bashani Radio app is hotter than ever. Ever. Now you can binge listen your favorite podcast show. And for those listeners that like to talk trash, excuse me, I mean give feedback. Just tap our new feedback button and run your mouth for 60 seconds. Download free for iPhone and Android in the App Store or listen online at BashaniRadio.com.